You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
My first podcast.
Okay. So I'm here with Tom Hughes, right?
Hello.
Yeah. Tom Hughes and Ken Garten. What do you guys, how are you guys feeling about the Moustakas signing that just dropped on Padres Twitter?
I think it's good news because that's our backup plan. If we don't have Moustakas to back up, they got to go harder on Machado.
Yeah, you think it's going to mean they're going to go harder?
I hope it does. I don't know for sure. Otherwise, it's Ty France.
Yeah. I'm really sad because Eric Hosmer really likes Mike Moustakas, and we really want to make sure that Eric Hosmer's happy, you know, the whole Kansas City 2015.
I mean, nothing will be as exciting as the San Diego Fleet that we're about to watch. We're in the Fleet parking lot right now, just so you know. But so it broke on Padres Reddit that Ron Fowler flew to Miami. Maybe, do we even believe if that's true?
If it's on Reddit, it has to be true.
I sure hope it's true because we need Machado bad. If we don't get him, we're screwed now.
Are you going to buy less tickets if we don't?
Probably not.
I would love for Machado to be our third baseman for the 2020 World Series team. I think that he is absolutely the best third baseman option for the Padres, at least in the last two decades. Probably the best third baseman since Ken Caminiti.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. The first Kept Faith podcast in the Manny Machado era. Oh my God, it actually happened. We waited a long time for this in San Diego, and it actually happened. What you just heard was me and Tom Hughes and Ken Garten, some Padres Twitter luminaries. We were down at the Fleet game on Sunday, and I whipped out my phone and tried to do a podcast with them, and we didn't really know what to talk about. It's been kind of hard to do a Padres podcast with all the vague rumors that were happening about possible free agents, but I thought it was cool to capture just kind of the uncertainty that we've been dealing with all off season. This podcast is going to be a collection of clips that I did the day that Miami signed, today or yesterday. The deal went through, I guess. We think it went through. And everybody freaked out. And I basically got off work, drove around to Escondido and all over the county, basically getting clips. It was really fun. And we just shared the excitement. I mean, it's pretty hard to process at this point. But you're going to hear Dallas McLaughlin first, our own Dallas McLaughlin, somebody that I've grown up with and completely just, we lost our minds today. I mean, he had such a, you'll hear it, but it was such a fun conversation to have because we really don't know how to process it. But I went there and then I went to Carlos R on Twitter. You've probably seen him around. It's his first podcast, did a great job. Then I went over to Padres Haiku's house and then over to Travis Russell's. And then ended it with Craig Meddy. So check it out. It's really an exciting time. I think everybody at the Kept Faith is very pumped about this. It's really hard to put into words because we've been waiting for something exciting to happen for so long, and it's really invigorated us. And I'm sure everybody listening, it's hard to wrap your head around, but we try to on this podcast, and I hope it's a cool time capsule of the first day in the Manny Machado era. Enjoy. Dallas,
Wade's world.
We sign Manny Machado, apparently.
In theory.
In theory. It's not real until I talk to you about it. I get, but it's also might not be real.
Yeah. It's it feels very Padres to be like, we did it, and then also we maybe didn't do it. And that's kind of where it's sitting right now, which is really scary.
It is scary. I'm going to just pretend like it's done and that's all of it. It sounds like they're going to have to come. He's going to have to come out and meet with Fowler and Seidler and Preller and actually sign in person. I'm going to just pretend, because I'm actually driving around the county to talk to people, that this is real. And I'm excited. I'm choosing to believe it's real. If it is real, how do you feel?
Well, first off, I feel like Manny Machado's camp would come out and say something if it wasn't real.
Yeah.
And I haven't really seen that. I've seen Fowler and all of them be like, it's not done, blah, 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 blah. But it doesn't seem like Machado's camp has come out and said much. So that makes me a little more hopeful. If it is real, like, that's freaking amazing. Like, it is literally amazing. People throw that term around, that word around a lot. But this would be the only time I think that it would be apt for the Padres. Like, when's the last time they did something like this? And you know, you could see, and you could say, like, oh, they did a whole the Matt Kemp, the Justin Upton, all that stuff. But that's not the same thing. Like, those guys were past their prime stars, and not like they were poor, like bad players. I mean, Justin Upton still has good years and was good then. But you know what I mean? Like, this is an in his prime with plenty of years, good years left. Free agent signing, something we've always wanted the Padres to do, always. And it looks like they finally did it. And it doesn't even make sense. Like, it doesn't feel like it feels like it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it feels like, and it's this whole process, this whole off season, the thing, and I think I'm speaking for you and everybody, is like in the back of your mind, like, the Padres don't do this.
No, they don't.
This isn't what we do. And it, you know, I'm curious to see, like, he's an exciting player. He's an edgy player, which is going to be real fun to navigate. Like, have we ever had he's kind of like the bad boy, great player that I don't know if we've ever had that as a Padre. I mean, we've certainly had head cases throughout the years, but nobody who can really back it up like this. I mean, he could pick off one or two MVPs in the next 5 years. So the deal is, that's being reported, it's a 10-year, $300 million deal with a 5-year opt out. And I think that's actually healthy, because it puts a little pressure on the team to actually be good in the next 5 years.
Well, yeah, and that's the plan. The plan is to what? Be competitive here within the next 2 seasons. And so that makes sense to me that they would do that. And then if they are competitive in the next 2 seasons, that gives us 3 years to be competitive with a lot of players under control, team control. And then you can blow it up in 5 years if you want, which honestly, you give me 3 years in the playoffs, blow it up. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, and here's the other thing about the whole he's a bad boy thing. Like, it's interesting to me because obviously we haven't heard about it that much, being that he played for the Orioles. Like, why would we ever really hear about it? We heard about it more when he came to the Dodgers. But even then, all of the Dodgers kind of suck. Like, Chase Utley sucks. Like, they all kind of are just a-holes. And so, like, to me, I didn't put much stock into it. And when he was in Baltimore, I just felt like he was mad that he was on a team that seemed, you know, hell-bent on never competing. You know, there was those 2 good years in Baltimore, and all the rest of the time it felt like they were just a trash team, and he was probably pissed off the whole time going, what am I doing? I need to get out of here, you know? And I understand that. And if he is edgy, and if he is weird, man, remember Milton Bradley was here? Like, Milton Bradley was so fun to watch. I loved Milton Bradley. You know, he was edgy. You never knew he was going to punch somebody. Like, hell yeah. Like, I'll take that over watching Will Myers half run to first base any day of the week. I mean, are you kidding me? Give me someone who gives a shit or doesn't give a shit. I just want some kind of shit.
I just want, I want a defined, like, I want a personality.
Yeah.
You know, and if he, you know, there's questions about him hustling when he's on the Dodgers, and that's great. I mean, he didn't hustle for the Dodgers. Who cares? That's fine.
Yeah.
But this is interesting, because it's going to make, at least it's going to, if they can get some pitching together, I mean, I want to go into next season and actually, like, look at the standings and go into a series against the Dodgers and think to myself, we should win this series because it's important that we win this series. Not like, oh, I hope some of these players develop a little bit more and they appreciate the stage. You know, I want to look at the standings, for God's sakes, this decade.
Well, and I think this is a good move because I think you, and I know that the next step, obviously, for people is logically, okay, well, let's get Harper now. And that's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, John Heyman even tweeted out, like, that with Manny on the team, they're still at $110 million payroll, team payroll. So that puts us still at the bottom of the list, you know? So they can still go out and get Harper. And in that case, if you do get Harper, you trade Will Myers. And unfortunately, you trade Franmil or Franchi, one of those dudes, or Hunter maybe. But Myers and one of those dudes, and you go out and you get a good pitcher. Not, you're not going to get an ace, but you're going to be able to get maybe an overpriced good pitcher. You bring them in, and you're set. I mean, you are set. And that's the, I think if they could get that, pull that off, like I would jump through a roof. Like I don't know how I would be excited, because the biggest thing for me right now is now you have this infield where this finally makes the Hosmer signing make sense. Like now the Hosmer signing makes sense, because Hosmer could not be the offensive threat on his own. You know, they were hoping Myers would be there. He wasn't. He's not going to be. I'm sorry. He just isn't. Now the Hosmer signing makes sense, that you have somebody who can hit behind or in front of Machado, maybe even a little lower. You put Renfro behind Machado, but you give Hosmer some protection where he can kind of relax and he can play his game. I just think that it really solidifies a team having one kind of superstar anchor a position that I can't remember having a good player at.
Yeah. Oh, of the pitchers that are still on the still available, I mean, who do you think would be a good, like, person to go after just to have something passable maybe until the trade deadline, when they could start like moving some of these pieces that they have? I mean, I'm kind of interested in Gio Gonzalez. I don't think he's signed yet.
I don't know, honestly. And what's funny is I haven't paid attention to most of it because my world's been Harper and Machado for the past freaking month. You know what I mean? Like, I had to mute the Padres on Twitter because I couldn't handle it for a while. Like, it's and out of excitement, you know, out of just like pure joy and elation and in sadness and frustration. And I mean, people are saying Dallas Keuchel. I think he's a James Shields in waiting. There's a reason that teams haven't pounced for Keuchel. And it's either his asking price is too high, or there's something going on. I mean, Houston is not interested in having him come back, obviously. Like, I feel like some team would have jumped in and given him 2 years, you know, 50, 40 million or something like that, just to have him. I'm not that much. Sorry, that's a weird number. But you know what I mean? Like, sign him for a year or something, and it's not happening. So I don't like Keuchel. I feel like he's not really that great when you look at all things considered. He had a couple really good years. But I don't know. Like, Gio is interesting to me. Like, I don't know what you get with Gio. Maybe you get some leadership. But honestly, that's why I feel like if you can get Myers out, even if you trade Myers and get a stable pitcher, I don't know. I'm good with that. Like, we have so many good young pitchers that are coming up that it's like, I'm not even, if we can get one more solid pitcher, then I would be stoked. And I'm not asking for an ace. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I literally thought this today. Could you trade Myers and Franmil or Franchi or Hunter for like a Tanaka? And I know that's not going to make anybody happy, but you get like 2 years of a pitcher who's going to give you innings and strikeouts, and he's not going to be pitching in the American League anymore. So it's like, it's somebody like, I don't want Tanaka, but if I got Tanaka for that, I would be fine. You know what I mean?
So do you feel more compelled to just buy more tickets this year?
Oh, 100%. Like, literally, I told my wife this morning when I saw the news, it's like, oh, I'm going to more Padres games.
Yeah, we're going to see this. I mean, especially when Tatis comes up.
Yeah.
And if that's...
And if Urias can... I can never say it, I apologize. But if he can put it together and be what we want him to be, I've never not liked Hosmer. I just didn't like the Hosmer signing last year, but now with this signing, it comes together. And so Hosmer, Urias, Tatis, and Manny, that isn't, oh my God. Like, who doesn't want to go watch that team? Even, and I love Franchi, I love Framnell, like Hunter, like even the outfield doesn't make me mad. Margot, I don't really like Margot. I'm kind of out on Margot, but whatever. It's like, that, you know, to me, I'm already going to get more tickets. Travis said today he called and renewed his tickets.
Yeah, I'm gonna drive to his house later. But yeah, he tweeted that earlier. Like, he was on the fence. He was really, Travis always gets tickets. He always has season tickets. And he was ready to quit. And I don't blame him. I mean,
if this doesn't go through,
it's gonna be
the death penalty for me. I don't know. I don't know if we could survive if this deal doesn't happen.
Yeah, and here's the thing: if the deal doesn't happen, I think the Cat Faith is over.
Go Angels.
Go Angels. But I think the biggest thing with this ticket thing is in buying and going to see. It's like, listen, I know we've all been pissed and we've all been mad, but now if this is true and this is happening, the Padres are putting the money into it. They are trying to get the fans to come to the ballpark. And as fans, we should reward them and come to the ballpark. I mean, I know that sounds like, well, they're not doing enough. You're signing one of the generational talents in baseball. That's doing a lot. You're giving them one of the biggest free agent contracts in the history of baseball, if not the biggest. When everything comes out, we see the final numbers. I'm going to go. I'm going to support the team. They put something there that I want to see, and I'm going to go support it.
I agree with that. And I think it's deeper than that. It feels like they're finally participating in this sport. You know, that's what it feels like. Like we've been watching this product that is like, it feels like it's been on hold, you know, like we're just waiting. And if this is real and Tatis comes up and he's anywhere close to what the expectations are and Urias keeps going on his track, and I'm not ready to give up on Margot yet. I think he has another year before we decide what he is. But, you know, I mean, all these guys, if they can come together, it could be something really exciting. And, you know, I was at Landon Donovan's debut on Friday night, and there was such an energy there that this was a real attraction. There was something to go see. And I think, you know, the Padres are obviously on a different level, but like, if they can be an exciting product, the city's ready for it. And it's been ready for it.
Yeah. I 100% agree. What the Sockers did with Donovan, I mean, honestly, we haven't gotten a chance to talk about this, and it's kind of maybe a bigger topic than we have now, but the Sockers went and got Donovan, and what happened? Like, the next day, the Padres announced they were bringing back the Brown. Like, clearly, other teams making moves and doing stuff in the city and taking attention away from the one major league sport we have in the city is affecting the Padres. I mean, it really is. For anybody to think differently is silly. Like, the Sockers went out and got Donovan. We got the Fleet here. Now, whether you feel about the Fleet, I don't know. I don't care, but
I was at the Fleet.
There you go. We have the Fleet there. And even the Seals, though, they're drawing attention. You know, the Gulls are continuing to sell out games. Like, it's the Padres have to step up to the plate now. Like, they have to claim the city. And I think they're realizing over the last year or the last 2 years with the Chargers gone and them doing nothing to capture the fans, other sports coming in and doing it. I mean, we spent the last year talking about what? Soccer City and SDSU, not the Padres. Like, we should have been talking about the Padres. And I feel like now, as the Padres are finally maybe getting it, that they're going to start really losing fans. And they have already. And with this Machado move, you're getting a huge fan base back. Who knows what comes next? I mean, I really respect what the Sockers did. And I really want, and it looks like they're forcing the hands of Fowler and Seiler. And that's great.
Conclusion, Craig Elston got Machado to San Diego.
I have no problem with that conclusion.
I kind of feel that way, actually. But
listen, he hosted a podcast called Make the Padres Great Again. He held to his word.
He did it. All right, man. Well, I'm going to get going. I'm going to go check in with some other people, and we'll have, you know, we'll be talking about hopefully a generational talent for the next 5 years.
It feels fun.
Yeah,
it
feels I can't.
Good. It feels good. We can go to our fantasy baseball draft this year, Nick, and maybe draft a Padre.
Does that well, yeah, good? And not feel like I'm just doing this with as wishful thinking.
Yeah,
how
many times have you bid on Manuel Margot just for hope?
Bid against myself, yeah. Just for hope. Yeah, no, All right, we're on the second stop on the tour. I'm here with Carlos R. on Twitter. How you doing, Carlos?
I'm doing great, man. Doing really good today.
This is a really historic day for Padres fans. I mean, I can't believe that this is happening. Are you gonna go to more games now?
Probably. I mean, I was on the fence about going opening day, and I already bought my tickets this morning after I heard the news. So I'm definitely gonna try to go more.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time you've ever been this excited about like a Padres player? I can't even think of a comp of like like came here, and I guess we were pretty excited with the Matt Kemp signing and everything, or the trade, but this is a new feeling, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty new. I mean, no one of this kind of magnitude that we've had. I mean, I was kind of excited for Justin Upton when we got him. I like Justin Upton more than Matt Kemp. Oh, I didn't care too much about Matt Kemp. But, yeah, this is like a whole nother level for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is somebody who's entering his prime. I mean, he's might be already started. But, he's been great for so long. And it's amazing that he's only 26. Like, I mean... What do you think the next 10 years are going to be like with this?
Well, damn, I hope they're good. I hope they're good. I mean, it'll be even better if, like, he can make it through his whole contract, you know? Yeah. That just means if he makes it the whole contract, that means that the Padres are obviously doing well, you know, and he's obviously wanted to stay since he has the opt-out. So that'd be awesome if he stays the whole 10 years.
Yeah, do you think, like, this is going to attract more free agents and other, maybe hopefully pitching? I mean, do you think the Padres are done with this offseason?
I don't know. I mean, well, there's rumors about the Harper offer still on the table, but I mean, I really don't see that happening. And hopefully they can bring in some pitching too, but I kind of think they're going to slow down a little bit this offseason.
I mean, they've done enough. It seems like it's been hard to track this, but like, you know, the deal isn't exactly finished. I mean, where are you on that? I just talked to Dallas, and he's pretty concerned about it. Like, it isn't actually official, and the team isn't really saying much. I mean, what potentially, like, if it did fall through, what would you do?
I don't even know, man. I'd be so mad. I'd be so pissed off. I don't know why. I mean, I think it's good. I think they're just waiting on maybe the formalities of the physical and signing the actual deal. Maybe there's some terms they got to agree on, but I think it's probably done.
Yeah.
We just got to wait, and maybe Ron Fowler just wants to be, you know, technical about it.
Yeah. I mean, we have kids about the same age. I can't even describe the feeling of what it will be like to show, just take him to games and see this level of talent. I mean, have you talked to your son about him at all yet? I haven't gotten home yet. I'm podcasting, but I mean, it's going to be like Tony Gwynn was for us, hopefully. Yeah. You know, I mean,
yeah, I'm hoping so, man. Since it's like a 10-year deal, my son is going to be 4 soon, and Machado's going to be here basically through his childhood, and hopefully he can help the Padres be good. I mean, that's the thing. It's like we got this big talent that we're going to have, and he's going to get older and see Machado play, and hopefully he stays good, and it's just going to, you know, keep him being a Padres fan. And, you know, it makes me feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, we were both at the Landon Donovan's opening night, or debut. I mean, there was a real buzz in that crowd. I had to leave early because my son melted down. But, you can feel that this community really needs this right now. And I mean, what do you think about the overall just feeling in the city? I mean, it's something new that we haven't really felt.
Yeah, there's definitely a buzz going on. You know, Friday was cool. There was a lot of people there excited for Landon Donovan and everything. And I think this is just going to take it to a whole nother level. I think opening day is going to sell out, and people are going to be there going nuts and looking for Manny Machado, and it's going to be great, I think, for the city, and everyone's just going to be really hyped on Padres baseball.
Yeah. Well, man, thanks for coming on, and, you know, thanks for being a patron of the Kept Faith. So check out Carlos on Twitter, Carlos R, and we'll see him on opening day. He'll be there.
Yeah, definitely be there.
The Faith. I'm here with Padres Haiku. How you doing on Manny Day?
Pretty excited. Manny Machado, very excited. It's a great day. It's probably the biggest signing. Well, no, undoubtedly the biggest signing in Padres history.
Yeah.
It's the richest contract in American pro sports history. It's almost a third of $1 billion. So That's quite a sum of money, and I'm glad to be giving it to him. I think the Padres are going to be a much better baseball team. So
yeah, I mean, it's gonna be the biggest until we sign Bryce tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about tomorrow. I think probably in about 2-3 days. Yeah. We'll let this settle in, and then we'll get Bryce in about 2-3 days.
Yeah.
Probably 3:20. I'm clocking him in at about probably 3:25, 10 years. So.
Yeah.
Open up the pocketbook, Ron. He's next.
So what did you do when you found out?
So I was at work when I found out, and what I saw at first on the timeline was just a lot of like initial reactions. And so it was like, wait, what? And like going back, I was like, wait, no. What's going on? And so I was about, I would say probably like 45 minutes behind. And I had to catch up, and I was like, wait, what happened? And I caught up, and I was just, I think, like, immediately, I was sitting at my desk, I just, like, stood up and just, like, looked around, just, like, really quick, like, I didn't say anything, because, like, I work in a quiet office, just, like, looked around, kind of like a, you know, just, like, what's going on, wait, what happened, and just, like, walked up and down the hallway real quick,
yeah.
Just, like, I can't believe this is, like, it's done, like, it happened, like, I thought it would happen, but I figured it would happen at, like, late at night, and then it just happened in the morning. Very, very excited. So, yeah, just, you know, didn't really have anybody to talk to at work. None of the people I work with in my office are baseball fans at all, but a couple people who work in the building are, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, this doesn't really feel like it happens to the Padres. Like, we're usually on the sidelines for these kind of deals.
No.
I mean, do you think it's going to mean more signings, maybe a pitching or anything like that?
For pitching, probably not to this, you know,
yeah.
level. You know, I don't think they're going out and getting, you know, a pitcher of this caliber anytime soon. But, you know, I think that, you know, when you, I mean, this is more than just sticking your toe in the water. This is more than just like, this is jumping into the pond. You know, this is like, they really threw themselves into it. So, you know, this is big game hunting. So, who's to say in the next couple, 2-3 seasons, what's going to happen with some of the bigger pitching free agents that are going to come out. I can't name any off the top of my head, but like, you know, never say never, you know, they could also cry poor now that they said, well, we spent all of our money on Manny Machado, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm not going to say that they absolutely are going to do that, but like, you know, after they sign Bryce Harper, if they sign Bryce Harper, then they can cry poor.
Then
it's like, fine. You cried poor. You know, we can let like one of the 10, you know, top 100, you know, one of the 10, like one of the 10 pitching prospects. We'll see, like, if two of them turn into really good pitchers, you know, that we have. Like, but I don't know. This is what I'll say though. A couple years back, I defended Ron Fowler for being sort of a douchebag on the radio. And I felt okay with it. I felt okay. I was like, Ron Fowler, he's a different kind of owner. He kind of wants to win. And 2-3 months ago, I just felt like, Ron Fowler, you're believing this Padres sort of narrative that we don't have any business in the division. The only reason why we're here is so that the Dodgers and Giants don't have to travel very far for their road games. You know, like, you're buying into this thing that we hate, that we as Padres fans hate, that, like, you know, we don't spend money, you know, we let our homegrown stars leave, you know, like, this isn't who we want, like, with all this, like, debt servicing and, like, quote-unquote opening up the books, like, this isn't what we want, like, this is, like, don't be this guy, that we don't turn into this heel, mm-hmm. that, you know, and son of a bitch, you know, like,
yeah, it's,
you know, like, here you go. Here's, you know, what is it? $30 million a year.
Yeah. It's hard to really wrap your head around not being cynical about them anymore.
Yeah.
If that's what this changes. I mean, I know we've on the Kept Faith and a lot of other blogs and podcasts and just people on Twitter, it's just become like a genre of comedy to just take shots at these guys. And
yeah. It
seems like this is a new chapter where we don't really have grounds to do that.
No. You know, maybe we have to see what they do. I mean, I think 2019 probably won't be that successful of a year, but
no,
they have to do something with Manny's prime. I mean, they're putting all their eggs in this basket, and they have to surround him with pitching. And I think, I mean, we after what happened today, and if it goes through, that's a whole other thing. But it's hard to be cynical that they won't. I mean, I don't know. They still have dead money that's going to be coming off the books during the course of the contract. I mean, I have a question. Do you think that this ownership group will be the ownership group that finishes this contract?
I mean, it's a good question. I don't know if Fowler will be part of this ownership group that finishes the contract.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the Seidlers are part of it. You know, I think that Seidler becoming cancer free is probably a big part of it. And God bless him for that. You know, you can complain about him for whatever, but I think that it's good that he's cancer free. who's to say if Fowler is part of that, in 10 years, The whole group, maybe not. Maybe other parts of this group come up and like buy out other parts of this group. Whether or not Fowler is sort of the mouthpiece of the group is it remains to be seen. Yeah. He maybe like oversteps his bounds on the radio once or twice more, and they kind of like grab the mic away from him and say, "You don't do this anymore. Well, the thing you stay off the Cilio show." You know, like
like spending this much money is you don't really need a mouthpiece like that. You don't need to spend a whole lot. No, I don't think. No. You don't need somebody.
You know who gets to talk now is Benjamin Franklin. Yeah, I suppose.
Now we're playing in the game. I don't know. So are you going to go to more games this year just in general because of what they've committed to? You go to a fair amount of games anyways. But.
Yeah. I mean, I usually go to a handful of games. Maybe, you know, perhaps like I enjoy the game. I enjoy going to the Padres games in general. Maybe I might go to like one or two more games. We'll see. Like if they call up Tatis, I'd probably go to a Tatis debut. If they call up Paddock, I'd probably go to a Paddock debut, something like that. Once they start calling up the rookies, you know, I'd probably start going to some of these debuts, stuff like that. And, you know, that's probably going to start happening this year, definitely next year. But, you know, it's still expensive.
So. Yeah, it is still expensive. It doesn't. Okay. I don't know if the prices are going to go up. It's a whole lot of
prices are certainly not going to come down.
I don't think so. All right. Well, do you have any parting thoughts? Go get Bryce, right?
Go now. Next step is go make a twin offer to Bryce Harper and say like the two of you will be inseparable. You know, like it'll never be, you know, like, well, Machado did all this and then Harper did all this. So, like, no. You guys did it together. Like you guys will do it together. You guys will go into the Hall of Fame together. You guys will be together. Like, it'll never be compare and contrast. It'll be like you guys did it together, and like that'll be like the way to go. And like, I think that's a solid pitch. You know, like, go get them together.
300 boys coming. Yeah, we'll see if that'll be another emergency pod. I'll be back here next weekend.
Next weekend? Yeah, 3-4 days.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that works for you. Okay, good. Yeah. All right, man. See ya.
All right.
But nothing hides me. Whatever it is, I'm always thinking of you.
I hope you look at me, be patient.
All right, I'm here with Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres! Machado! Oh my goodness! I can't even hardly contain myself.
Yeah, I mean, we've been a pretty cynical bunch for a while, and this is like a new world for us. I don't know. I guess we did keep the faith, and this is what it gave us.
Yeah, this is what it feels like, and I feel like I need more than 12 hours or however long it's been already to adjust to this whole new world, because it feels like, and I don't want to put too much on Machado, but it really feels like the fog is starting to clear, and we have like this vision now, or like a way to go, and it feels really good. It feels completely different than it did 24 hours ago.
Yeah,
I don't know how to describe it other than that.
Well, I was talking to Dallas earlier, and I think it feels like they're actually playing in Major League Baseball now.
Yeah,
I mean, they did a little bit with the Hosmer signing. You know, that it was real money, but this is like, I mean, they've planted their flag and said, this is who we're going to be. We're building around Machado. We're building around this core group of players, and he's going to be
the centerpiece, really, at least for right now.
Yeah, and the thing about it is he's a centerpiece, but it also feels like he fits in to where it's not really like a lot of pressure in a way. I don't know if that sounds right, but like there's going to be a lot of pressure on Machado, but in a way it, with the way the team's constructed, it feels like the perfect fit because there's guys that we still consider the young kids that he's younger than. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like some of our prospects, Renfro, all those guys, he's in their age range. So it feels like he's a prospect that we just gave $300 million to, but in a way that feels like it's correct.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, he's still a young player, but those guys, even though they're pretty close in age, they are still in awe of him. I mean, he's a top three.
He's not development anymore. No, he's not developing, and most players at his age are still developing.
Yeah, I mean, there's few players have had his numbers like up to 26 years old. I mean, what do you think? Do you think we're going to go in on Harper? Is this over? Or are we just going to be spending?
No, I think we should be done. And I mean that, like, it'd be fun just to have the greatest team ever assembled, but then I don't think it feels as good when we win with just the addition of Machado. And I have to be honest, secretly deep down, I have been praying just for Machado. Uh-huh. I really didn't want Bryce. I didn't want a whole big thing because then it feels more legit. Like, We've done our work on the farm. We suffered through with this team. They rewarded us with a big, huge splash. The biggest in sports history. It's just kind of crazy.
Biggest free agent
for 24 hours. We'll hold that title.
Yeah.
And so it's gonna feel, I think, a lot better than them just going out and, you know, shooting their wad, if you will, and getting every good player out there. This is gonna be a team in 2 or 3 years that, if they do what we think they can do, it's just gonna feel like legit, like real, not fake, not bought, but like we grew it and then we added the pieces we need.
Yeah, and I saw earlier today you said that you, I don't know if you tweeted it or texted me, but I, who knows?
I've been going kind of crazy today.
What's the difference? You
know? Yeah.
Exactly. No, but you were on the podcast, at least on the fence about getting your season tickets renewed that you've had in your family for a long time.
Yeah, over 40 years now.
Yeah, and so you are back, right?
Hans got his call today. I left him a voicemail saying I want to say thanks to Uncle Ron. Give me a call back. My credit card is ready to be given to you. So, yeah, we renewed today our 40 games for the season.
Wow. I mean, I've talked to a few people, and it does feel like, you know, people are gonna go to more games. And it just feels like a lot of the cynicism, a lot of like the problems with pricing and everything, that it will still be expensive to go to a Padre game. It doesn't change our economics, but like, you know, it does feel a lot less filthy.
Well, it feels like justified.
Yeah.
And at the same time, like, I really feel, I've been hard on Ron Fowler. You know, I love to talk about my little lunch with him because it makes me feel like I'm important or whatever. But, you know, like, now we have to be, as Padres fans, like, they've held their end of the bargain at this point, I feel. This is within the range that we were talking about time-wise. And so we need to fill that stadium with, like, I'd prefer Brown this year, but whatever it is, like, home games we have got to represent because we have a team now that we can see the trajectory of a legitimate chance to be relevant. And I think that's what's most exciting to me. I picked my daughter up from school today because she was sick, quote unquote, whatever that means, as a 6-year-old trying to get out of school. But there was another dad in the office with me, and I started talking to the nurse and everybody about, oh my, did you hear what the Padres did? And this guy's just like quiet, like look at me in the back. He's got a Rams hat on, and we're walking, and he's like, I'm a Dodgers fan. And for the first time ever, we started to have this conversation where he didn't treat me like I was an insignificant piece of crap. You know what I mean? He had a little fear in his eyes, and it was, man, I walked out of there like a roost, I don't know, like coattails high, shoulders back. Like, it is a different feeling. And I'm not putting all my hopes on Manny, but you can see how the whole team now, like, coalesces in this direction.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the NL West. I mean, I don't know if 2019 is really going to be the year that they contend for it, but they should be better, obviously. But,
right,
you know, the Dodgers don't really have, you know, Kershaw's on his way out as far as, you know, what we think of as Kershaw, and, you know, they don't really have a dominant pitching staff. The Giants are still kind of rebounding from, I mean, they're still kind of building up, and who knows about, I mean, the Cardinals or the Diamondbacks might actually be the best team in the division. I don't know, but the whole division feels a little bit in flux. Maybe the Rockies make a move, but it does feel like the Padres, if Tatis comes up and he's for real, I'm not expecting a whole lot from him this year, but to show flashes, but like, we could actually be having a summer where we're looking at the standings. And I think that's what they paid for. They want us to, like, be more engaged later in the year. The pitching is the biggest question, though.
Yeah, the pitching is the biggest question, but I think a lot of what we saw last year, there was a lot of promise in these young arms. So I'm not expecting playoffs this year. That would be, you know, amazing. It would be like an Atlanta thing or whatever where it just clicks instantly. But I think we weren't even last in the West last year, right? The Giants beat us to the bottom. Is that true? I saw that today. Maybe I'm... But I think that we're going to be something that when a team comes to San Diego, it's just not going to be one of those things where they're like, oh, here's three games that we can just lock down. They're going to have to be like, let's think about learning about these pitchers. You know, we're not just going to be able to go up there and swing away. We're going to have to think about the Padres lineup, who's coming up. I mean, what Machado's going to do for Myers, my least favorite Padre, I think is going to be remarkable. And I'm actually now, it's so weird. I'm excited to see what Myers can do with, like, the protection of Machado.
Right.
Like, he's not the guy anymore at all. He's just, like, some guy on the team.
He's, like, the third guy because he was the guy, and then Hosmer made him not the guy, and now Hosmer's not the guy, which is good for everybody, I think. But, you know.
Yeah, it just works out that way.
Well,
so.
it also takes third base off the table for Will, which is good for everybody. And, you know, I hope Will just plays good outfield, you know, for a – you know, we're all rooting for Will. It's just – can he stay healthy? Can he field a position in Major League Baseball? Those are still questions. And, you know, I mean, he's not, it's not really, Will Myers isn't the conversation we should be having right now. But, you know, like, it does, the protection, the lineup should have a lot more flexibility, but more dynamic. It should be more dynamic. I mean, you have Hosmer that can get protection benefits from it, and Will too. Andy Green can actually set a major league lineup more this year than any year that he's had. You know, I'm curious to see what the criticism of Andy Green is this year, because, I mean, do you think his style is going to play with somebody like Manny Machado?
I think that's what's interesting to see, and I'm glad you brought that up because I haven't thought about that much, but now that you bring it up, I think this is, if anything, this is the year that all the shift goes to Andy Green. Like, what do you do now that you have this dynamic? Because he's got to prove himself this year. Like, he can make the right decisions at the right time and manage this correctly, because if he can't lead this moving forward, I think this is the year to tell. Like, you've got the stuff now. You don't have an ace, but you have enough pitchers to, like, move stuff around and actually make moves. I don't know. This is going to be the year for Andy Green. This is the make or break year now. There's no more, like, warm seat. He's on the hot seat this year, I think.
Well, I heard, you know, this today on the radio, I forget who it was, but I heard a quote from Bud Black going into the 2015 season where, you know, he actually said on the record, I don't know the quote exactly, but he basically said, like, you know, I've never had to manage talent at this level before. And I think that's a real question for Andy Green and for every manager and pretty much in every sport. At a certain point at the highest level, you have to be able to manage the biggest egos in the sport. Because if your team's going to be good, you're going to get one of these players that is, you know, has been the most talented person in the room his entire life, and it's working at the top level. Like, how do you manage that? You know, like in basketball, Phil Jackson managed Michael Jordan, Shaq, and Kobe. Like, I don't know if Andy has that skill set. He hasn't really had that opportunity to do that, except for that his first year when that other team fell apart. But
yeah, then that's why I think this is the big year for that, because we'll have to see what he does with that. I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I was born and raised here. Yeah, we're on. Oh. It's okay. I'm sitting here with Craig Medeiros, or Craig Meddy, Cash Meddy, right. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. Catching him post-Periscope.
Yeah.
Post-Periscope buzz. Yeah. I've been sitting in my car outside your house watching you on Periscope. How was it tonight?
Oh, it was great. It was absolutely awesome. I loved people coming on. They were excited. They were getting drunk with me. They were like, hey, take a shot, this and that. It's just fun, like, you know, being a San Diego fan. I mean, I'm 37 years old, and you lose the Chargers. I mean, that was devastating. That day was a devastating day. Like, you knew it was coming, but when it officially came that you lost the Chargers, it's like, damn, dude, we lost the Chargers. Like, all we got now is the Padres. And you knew at that point we were in a rebuild mode. Mm-hmm. So you knew, like, it was going to take a while. And today it just feels like the rebuild mode is over. Like, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs or anything next year, but I don't think we're that far from making the playoffs, like, as far as years go. I mean, I think we're, like I said, I don't think we're making the playoffs next year. I'd be stunned if they made the playoffs, but we ain't that far now.
Yeah, I mean, you're a gambler,
yes.
Hashtag cash Medi, but, yes. Like, what do you think the over-under, how does that change with what happened today? I mean, are you tracking that?
I'm yes, sure I am. Actually, yes. Okay, on my site, it was at 78.5 wins prior to today. I haven't checked mine. But other sites, I saw 75, 76. It was ranging from. So, you know, Vegas has, they usually don't have that big of a variance. Usually, you'll see like a half a win or, you know, like in football, you'll see -4.5 or -4. You won't see -7, -4.5. But mine had 78.5 wins, and I have a feeling that my site kind of sensed that they were going to get someone, and I would guess tomorrow if I check or tonight I check, I would guess it's around 79, 80, but I wouldn't think anyone else is 80. I would guess 78, 79 wins, which, look, I mean, that's borderline 500.
Yeah.
And that, for us, like...
For us, that's like, right. That's enough, I think.
I mean, it's embarrassing, like, for us to even be like, oh, we're going to get to borderline 500. Let's go, you know, celebrate it. But we've been so bad for so long. And that 2015 season, like, I don't know how you felt about it, but I was in. I thought it was the right decision because I don't know. It just felt like, I think they did too much in one season. I think Marver mentioned that on his podcast one time, Marver and H.J. Preller. Yeah. I thought it was a good point that they mentioned. Like, you got too many guys one season. That's hard to mesh. And, you know, look, it's a team sport. It's not – every sport is a team sport, really. But it's hard to just put everybody out there and just throw out talent and just go out there and play. But this is, it feels like it's building something. Like, you got a bunch of minor league guys that are coming up, and then you're building pieces. Like, I know people don't like Hosmer. I'm much higher on Hosmer than other people. And I just feel like Machado gives you that superstar. Now, Tatis doesn't have to be a superstar from day one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he could ease in, be a superstar by season three instead of, like, if he starts off 2-for-20, you know Padre Twitter is going to be like, this guy's a bust. You know, Tatis. But now that Machado's there, if Machado's 8-for-18 in that span, I think Tatis is going to get, you know, I'm saying if he went for 2-for-20 and the guy went 8-for-18, it's going to be more like, that's okay. Like, Tatis will come around instead of, oh, we got this bum and we don't have, you know, anything.
Yeah, it does feel like, and I've been talking about this tonight, just like the 2019 season doesn't need to be this, you know, we're going to the playoffs, we're going all the way or anything like that. That's not realistic. But, you know, you get to, it does, this move today seems like it makes the 2020 window more realistic. Like, they have to get some pitching. I mean, mm-hmm. of the guys that are still out there, I'm not saying they're going to get some, like, you know, 10, you know, 5 years of a number mm-hmm. one starter, but there are some guys that could fill, like, the Clayton Richards role, where they're, like, veterans that, no, they're not developing. They are who they are. I mean, of the guys that are still available, who would you like to see?
Yeah, I talked about that on my Periscope. There's Stroman from the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. They could go get maybe Bauer, maybe Kluber, what have you. I mean, I like Clay Buchholz. I think they need a right-hander. You got too many left-handers. You got Stroman, Lauer. You got Logan Allen. You got Lucchese. I mean, you got a lot of left-handers. I think they need a right-handed pitcher. And what I want as far as just this year in 2019, is someone that's going to come in, a veteran, and is going to eat up some innings. Because you got so many young pitchers, they can't all throw 150 innings. Especially like a guy like Strom. He's been a reliever basically his career. He's not going to just be like, I don't know how many innings has been the most in a season for him, but he's not going to throw 150, 200 innings, you know, out of the blue. You got to slowly increase your innings. Paddock's coming back from a Tommy John surgery. I think he threw somewhere around 90 innings last year, so he's not going to throw 200 next year. It'll probably be around 130, 150 tops. So we need an innings eater, and we need a veteran to kind of teach the kids, you know, a veteran to teach them, you know, how show them the ropes and go from there. But like you said, like 2019, if you're a Padre fan thinking that we're going to playoffs this year, nah, we're not going to playoffs this year. But you could see at the end of the tunnel, like you could see we got a promising future in from 2020 to 2024, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think the 2020, 2021, those are like the urgency to use Machado's prime that you're paying for. Now they can't just like hope for it or anything. They have to capitalize on it. And you know, I like what you said about Tatis. Like, could you imagine if Machado wasn't here? Like the pressure. He doesn't have to be the savior. I mean, I like joking about that, but I mean, no 20-year-old should ever have to do that. And we don't even know if he's going to get out of AAA. I mean, who knows? But I mean, overall, like, I don't know. I didn't hear all your Periscope tonight, but like, do you think there's like for the fan base, it's almost like we don't know how to navigate these feelings. Like, we haven't had like the cool free agent signing ever, except for Hosmer, I guess. But that wasn't like, this is different. This is completely different.
Yeah, this feels way different. This is a top 15 player in baseball. You know, yeah. Hosmer is more like a B signing. Mm-hmm. This is an A plus signings. I mean, by far, this totally feels different. I mean, I was like a little kid when I was off today, and I saw it on Twitter, and I looked like five times. I was like, "Is there a blue check?" Oh, like, yeah. Jeff Passan. I was like, "This can't be happening," and I kept looking, and I ran around my house like I was a kid on Christmas. But like you said, like, let's say we didn't sign Hosmer or Machado, and Tatis comes up, and we're talking about is a farm system, you know, and that's basically what the organization would have been preaching, the farm system. Well, if Tatis comes up and he struggles, and like, who knows? We don't know. He could be a bust. I don't think he's going to be a bust, but what if he is? There's just so much pressure on that poor kid. Now, I mean, I don't know where he'll bat, but in the lineup, but I mean, he's going to get better pitches with guys like Hosmer and Machado and even Myers. I think people are down on Myers, and I am to a degree, but Myers could still play. I mean, that guy's got a lot of talent. Yeah. It's not all on him. The whole city's not looking at Tatis saying, "You got to take us by yourself." You know,
we were headed that way. Right. We were really looking. I mean,
yeah. So a signing like this, if it just everyone goes down the order, you know, basically of the pressure. It's kind of, remember in '98 we get Kevin Brown. Andy Ashby becomes the number two. Joey Hamilton becomes the three. Hitchcock becomes the four. And those guys are just much more comfortable in those situations. And I feel like, look, is Machado the greatest leader? He's kind of am I allowed to say a D-bag? I'm a big Lions fan, and I had the Ndamukong Suh, you know, I had to root for him, and he was kind of dirty. He was dirty. but he was talented, and he helped the defense, and Machado's going to help you. Like, is he going to do some things, and you're going to be like, I wish he didn't do that, and you got to defend him? But look, the guy's going to hit 35 home runs or 30-plus home runs, and he's going to hit, I don't know, minimum 270, 280, and he's a threat. No pitcher wants to face that guy. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing that is a new feeling for me, I mean, we grew up with, like, having to deal with like a Barry Bonds or somebody who's like he wasn't necessarily dirty, but he kind of was, I guess. But like, can we root for the bad guy once in a while? Sure. We've never had this feeling of like, we get to be the edgy team that nobody else likes, but we're the fan base that gets, that does defend him. I kind of want that role in this. We've had some nice people on the team, and it's like, I don't want to be the nice guy all the time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we want to win, man. I mean, yeah, we're in San Diego. Like, it's cool to have, like, I don't know, like a Tony Gwynn. Obviously, Tony Gwynn was a great player and a great guy, and everyone loved the laugh and everything that he had. I mean, he was just a class act. But Trevor Hoffman, class act. But if you got to, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Like, Kevin Brown wasn't, I'm sure opposing team didn't like Kevin Brown and the way some of the stuff that he did. He doesn't, to me, win the game, man. As long as you're not beating up women, you know, off the field or raping a woman off, you know, that kind of stuff. You can't cheer for that. Like, there's certain points on that. But a little cheap shot here and there, I don't know. If you're hitting 35 home runs, I could look the other way, dude. But I
mean, there's some players in our division that I wouldn't mind a little cheap shot every once in a while. Right. You know,
how many times have we had the Bud Black era and even Andy Green where Rizzo does a slide on Austin Hedges and we don't do anything, you know? Like, I'm tired of that. Where I feel like Machado might be like, well, I'll do it, you know? I'll be the one to, you know, Chase Utley sliding against us and what was the Giants where the guy threw like the piece of gum or something at one of our guys. Like, I'm tired of getting bullied around here. Like, oh, we're just going to stick our feet in the sand and, you know, have a margarita in the sand. Like, forget that bullshit, dude. Like, you win some games, dude, and have a little attitude. Like, when Tatis hit that home run where he did the bat flip in the whatever league he's in, I don't know who he's facing and could be the biggest scrub ever. That bat flip, I don't know about you, but that thing got me like, holy shit. Yeah, I loved it. It was like, I mean,
it was like, in 3 seconds, it was an entire Padres marketing budget that they didn't have to spend. Because it was like, this is how, I couldn't wait to have him in a Padres uniform. Absolutely. I mean, like, what's going to be interesting about this is how the Padres, can the Padres market this, or should they just get out of the way and let the actual product speak for itself? I mean, you look at like Urias and Franmil and Tatis coming up and now Machado. I mean, these are real personalities that don't, like, we don't need a bobblehead. Maybe we can just have 35 home runs and Gold Glove defense on the left side, you know?
Well, I think this is a great opportunity for the Padres and, basically, almost like stealing fans. Okay, let's say, what do you think the Chargers had season ticket holders? 40, 50,000?
Probably not that much. No? Season ticket holders?
Like, there's 65,000 at the game, right? So you got at least 40,
maybe.
Right?
I really don't know.
I would say at least 40. If you stole 10,000 of those, because those people are like, well, what else? What other entertainment are we going to go to? We love sports, and we can't afford, you know, both with the Padres and the Chargers. And look, this was a Charger town. Let's not make it like it wasn't. Let's say you stole 10,000 of that. Dude, there's only 40,000 at Petco. I mean, that's 25% of your audience right there. I mean, you should be able to get that. The problem was, the minute they left, we were still in like phase one of the rebuild. We're not in phase one anymore. We're at the end of the rebuild. To me, this is the last year of not being a playoff team. Like, I'm expecting playoffs in 2020. Am I expecting to win the division? No, it's going to be hard to win the division when you got the Dodgers. The Dodgers are always going to be paying guys, and they actually know what they're doing now with the minor league systems. They tend not to overpay anymore. Like, if this was years ago, they would have been all in on Harper and Machado. They would have, you know, but they seem to be giving good contracts now. So it's going to be harder to beat a team like that. But we should be getting 85-plus wins after this year, in my opinion, from here on out. From 2020, 2023, 2024, I'm expecting 85-plus wins. And if you're getting 85-plus wins, you're borderline making the playoffs every single season.
Yeah. Well, we'll end it on this, but, you know, Andy Green has never really coached a player like this in Manny Machado. I mean, how do you think I mean, he's a developing manager himself, so I don't want to judge him right away, but like, do you think his style, from what we've seen, is going to play with somebody at this level who's making, you know, 10 times what he's making or whatever it is? But like, you know, I mean, we've seen this throughout sports where like the rah-rah kind of the coach who bothers the star player. And I was talking about this with Travis before I came over here. It was like, you know, there is at a certain point, a manager in any sport has to be able to navigate the relationship with the top player if they're ever going to be successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see that all the time. You can be the greatest strategy guy. You can be the greatest baseball, you know, nerd and know the right moves all the time. But if you can't manage these big egos, and Manny Machado has earned the right to have a big ego and like, you know, be, those guys can be difficult. We all know that. And like, do you think Andy's up to this?
I got a cousin, one of my best friends, grew up with him and everything, and he's a high school football coach, and he said, Medi, never make a rule that your best player can't will break that rule. So he's always kind of like, I agree with you on what you're saying. Like, Machado basically, to me, is higher than Andy Green. Like, yeah, I mean, let's say the two of them got in a fight or an argument, Andy Green's going to get fired. Machado ain't getting fired. He's got 10 years. Like, you know, it's kind of like John Gruden with the GM on the Raiders. He signed a 10-year deal for $100 million. Like, the GM was like saying, hey, I'm going to do this. And they got rid of the GM. You knew that guy was gone. I think Andy Green is on a short leash. I don't think he's the guy for the job, but let's be honest. He's never had talent, so let's see what he could do. He's got pretty good talent now. Let's see if he could overachieve. I would like him to see him develop some players. I didn't like, you know, I felt like he didn't play Renfro and some of the kids enough. Mm-hmm. Stop playing Perella and Spangenberg and Jankowski and that crap. I don't want to see that anymore. That's the one thing I don't want to see this year. I want to see kids play, and I want to see development. The wins and losses, someone was asking me, like, on my Periscope, what do you want, the wins and losses? To me, it doesn't matter. If the guys that you know that are going to be here for the next 4 years are developing and getting better, that's what matters to me. So let's see if Andy Green can do that. The wins and losses doesn't totally determine how Andy Green is judged, in my opinion, but let's see if he can develop some young players and go from there.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive. I was a sailor. I was born upon the tide.
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, the Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's Erin at VOSD.org.